It is 93.7 WEEI, Rich Schertenlieb, Ken Laird with three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson, and we are down at Fenway right now. Beautiful day. Beautiful. A little warm. Shouldn't have worn the long-sleeve black shirt. A little smelly over here. I apologize to our guest here in studio, but that's what comes with the territory when you have a man with Swiss blood like me. We are in the Ford Clubhouse at Fenway Studio, brought to you by New England Ford Dealers. Employee pricing for all. You pay for what we pay. Ford, the official vehicle of Major League Baseball and that dirty water. And with us right now, Sox manager Chad Tracy, and he is brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, the official supermarket of the Red Sox Radio Network, by Arbella, here for baseball fans, here for good, and by John Sewer and Drain Cleaning, the name to know when your drains don't flow. Thanks for coming back and hanging out with us today, Mr. Tracy.
Thanks for having me.
So we were kind of speculating, because I know originally our interview was set up for 2:15, and there was like we kept getting texts saying that you were going to be a little bit later. Anything going on that we should know about?
No, there was just a few different handful of conversations that popped up that I had to handle before I came down.
Okay, none of those were like team meeting-esque or anything?
No.
Okay.
Nothing like that.
All right. There was an interesting comment yesterday. Obviously, the team, you know, it's at home. It's just you seem to be snake bitten. It's a very strange thing. I know that right now, I believe 9 wins at home, which I think is the worst in the league. But I did find a comment yesterday from Izzy to be after the game. It raised some eyebrows because it might have given us an interesting look as to what he believes might be going on and why the team isn't doing well at home. He said, "I feel like on the road, we're a very close-knit team. We come home and there's just a lot of people. A lot of people, it's different. It's just a different vibe at home, and we've got to figure out a way to make it small like how it is on the road. Just feel like at home, we see a lot of people that we don't know or you know that are around this area. It's just a close-knit group, and we were becoming a really close team, and yeah, we got to find a way to bring that back home." What do you feel about his comments? What do you think he means by all of that?
Broadly, I just think there's a lot more people at Fenway. You know, it's the nature of, first of all, it's a big market. There's a lot of people. You go out for batting practice. There's fans on the field. There's tons of media. That's part of it here. I do think, and I don't want to speak for them, it's not wrong. Like when you go on the road, you're all together. There's nowhere to go. Like you're not necessarily rushing out to get to your family because it's just us. You're getting on the bus together to and from the ballpark. And there's a very small contingent of media that's there. They're in there for 45 minutes, and it really is a little bit. But when you come here, it's different. I do, like, as I watched him answer that, like, there was a long pause before he answered when you watch it. And I had the similar pause when they asked, like, sometimes you're searching for that answer. We all are, yeah. Right? And we know that we're, you know, a good streak at home away from turning this around. But sometimes you know, it's that feeling of like you're searching for the answer and you're, you know, playing out what could it be, right? So we're always looking at like how can we do that. But I think broadly he means it feels smaller on the road because it is. It is. When you go to Kansas City or Detroit or whatever, it's not Fenway Park and there's just less going on. But at the same time, like we got to find a way to make it small and deal with that ourselves because it's not going to change.
How do you make it small? How do you address that? Because obviously he feels that this is probably something that, or at least hopes it sound like, that he wants to have this be a little more controlled, yeah, with less people. How do you do that?
You can't control, I got to ask Iz too, but I don't think you control how much media there or whatever. But broadly, you want to know the answer? You win some games. You win some games here and it becomes less of a conversation. That's my answer.
Sure.
Is you come home and you have a stretch at home when you play and you win 4 or 5 in a row and everybody stops talking about it. Like that's a big part. But I don't ignore what he says, and I think, you know, just extra effort from all of our part to make it mostly about us, our group of 26, mm-hmm, that's playing the game that night, and try your very best to eliminate all the other stuff. Like, that doesn't matter over there. That doesn't matter over there. It's just about us, mm-hmm, right? And let's get it done. So, but I do think a lot of things like this, these topics tend to disappear if you go out and have a good stretch at home.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, winning cures all.
Yes.
Some people read into this, Chad, and maybe incorrectly, that there are too many hitting coaches or voices, hitting voices or people that are around the cage. Is that related at all to what is
he's saying? There hasn't been a single random hitting person that's come in. It's the same 4 guys that we've had since the changes were made, and those are the same guys that are in there. So no, that's the thing. There's a lot of things like, oh, there's a bunch of extra people. That's not necessarily the case. It's just, I think broadly, there's just more people around, and I don't think it necessarily means just Red Sox people. just think there's just a lot more going on at Fenway Park than there is at other places.
What do you make of Caleb Durbin and our Narvaez as well going outside the organization to get batting help? We actually talked to Lorenzo Garmendia, who runs a place right up the street. I think it's Gratton Baseball. Mm-hmm. Caleb, I guess, reached out to him and ended up getting help with him. I think he came to the park yesterday and actually helped him. You know, it is shocking from the outside looking in because you're like, wow, this is the Boston Red Sox. You would think that they had the best batting coaches and you wouldn't have to go outside of the organization. What do you think about that when something like that happens?
I think broadly there's probably a lot more players than you guys know that like have. I mean, when these guys go home in the off season, mm-hmm. you don't have enough hitting coaches to go home with them. They have people they work with. Yeah. And I think there's a ton of players that have hitting coaches or people they work with in the off season that know them that they probably reach out to for help.
But this is in the season at home.
Right. He's working hard with our guys too. Like, shoot, he's taking early hitting in Kansas City. He's working on all the things that he talked about.
Yeah.
Getting the ball in the air, the vacancy on the right side of the field that he talked about. Like, I watched him take two sessions of early hitting on one of the most recent road trips, working on driving the ball to the opposite field and getting the ball off the ground. So, I these things get play, you know, because it shows up on social media. I'm like, it doesn't mean that he's not working with our guys, working his mm-hmm. tail off, like a lot of hours with our guys to get right. But I do think people talk to other people, you know, as well outside of here. You know, if they have people they're close with, that happens a lot.
In baseball, that's just kind of understood. That's how the ecosystem works. Because I had a coach that would never want us getting advice from anybody. They're very territorial, whether it be trainers, coaches, hitting coaches. Baseball is different. It's a different
kind of ecosystem. There's the ecosystems, particularly, I know it's during the season, but in the off season, like there's, you know, cohesion on finding out every guy when they go home in the off season, where are you going, where are you going to be training, who you're working with, so we can be in communication with those types of people. Say, here's what we were doing in the season. Here's what we've been really pushing, and you're trying to get on board because you know that's going to happen. It's a long off season where they spend a lot of time alone, and you have to have that communication. So, yes, I think it is a different ecosystem. You know, guys have to go get their work in. They're going to have people that do that, but you want to be on the same page. So I think that doesn't throw up any big radars for me. The most important thing to me right now is Caleb Durbin starting to swing the bat pretty good,
mm-hmm.
And that helps the bottom of our order in a big way.
Speaking of swinging the bat, how's Roman Anthony taking his injury?
He's doing okay. I think he's probably, you know, frustrated on a couple of. I think he's frustrated that he can't be out there with us. There's been a lot of attention around it. It comes with the territory here. There's a lot of attention around it because he's not able to play right now. But I do think enough people internally have reached out to him and let him know, like, try not to get too caught up in the noise of things that are happening that maybe people don't know that are involved. Like, we got your back.
Yeah.
We want you healthy. We want you back. But we want you to get back healthy.
Yeah.
You know, not playing hurt. So, I think Roman's very even-keeled. You guys have heard me say that before. He's a very even-keeled person. He doesn't get too high or too low. He's focused on getting himself healthy and right so he can be in the lineup and help us.
Has he expressed any frustration on the mischaracterization of what his injury was by Sam Kennedy?
Roman doesn't do a lot of expressing frustration. I talked to him a good bit. He's not one that gets too bent out of shape about a lot of things. He doesn't do that. Whether or not he is, you guys could ask him. But I think Roman right now is just fine as far as knowing the people inside the room. Like, we're good. Like, we got to get you healthy. And we certainly don't want to ask you to go out there and swing a bat if you're having jolting pain in your hand or whatever it is. Like,
yeah.
We just got to get him right. So believe me, you talk enough to him, you'll realize he doesn't get, you know, even on the bad end, he doesn't get overly frustrated and boisterous with that stuff. He just focuses on what he has to do.
That's good, because that's got to suck being in his position. Like,
yeah.
Just wanting to play, and then especially when you feel that you're about to take that next step as you're seeing the dry swings.
Right.
And then you just go, here we go again, and where he has a little bit of a back, I don't want to say a backslide.
Yeah.
But it's not where he wants to be.
Right.
And that's got to be tough having a young player especially like that, where you just kind of almost got to be like, dude, just hang in there. Don't listen to the noise.
Right.
And just try to keep your head in it.
Right. And you're right about it. It's like a lot of people that want to go to the term, you know, oh, he had a setback, right?
Yeah, right.
Like, not necessarily. Like, when you're coming back from an injury, you expect there to be, you know, especially that, you expect there to be things like, I'm going good. Oop, that didn't feel very, you know, it's ups and downs. That's part of coming back from an injury.
Yeah.
It very rarely just goes perfectly, like, oh, we're going to start and everything, boom, 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 and everything's perfect. Like, that's not usually how most of them go.
Yeah.
So making sure that he knows, like, you know, that we support him and like that, you know, that we're not like pushing this guy to play hurt. You know, we want him to be healthy. And I think he knows that.
Does your gut say after the All-Star break? mostly?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. And I won't say that because we usually get in trouble when we try to put timetables on things and and it doesn't happen or it happens earlier. Like, you just don't know. I think the best way you can handle that is everybody's body is going to respond to different things, different injuries differently, and you got to go with the flow of how that guy is improving and how he's feeling.
Yeah.
And when he starts to feel really good, you give him more, you give him more, you give him more, then you get him on a rehab assignment and get him back. So when that happens, we'll do that with Roman. But I don't want to put a timetable. Like, I hope it's sooner than that, but you just don't know.
Well, Chad, we're talking to Chad Tracy. And something I just want to get your opinion on, because the players seem to like gravitate towards you. You seem to be a guy who talks their language. And, there was an article in the Boston Globe about how there's an impression around the league that the team has been leaning a little too hard on analytics and less on getting to know the actual player when they're looking around to, you know, either bringing players in. But even Theo Epstein said on a recent podcast, he had a really interesting quote saying, "What really makes a person tick as a player has become a lost art." Do you kind of feel the same? Is that baseball, not as much even the Red Sox, but just baseball in general, might be relying too much on numbers and not as much in actually doing the work and spending time with the players and getting to know them and saying, you know what? A guy like Kyle Schwarber may be over 30, and he might not be exactly, you know, what the algorithm says is good, but my God, this guy can still hit bombs, and he seems like a gamer.
He can hit, can't he?
Yes, he can. Unfortunately, Sox know that too well.
I think it's a good question. I think the secret in that whole thing is doing both.
Yeah.
And being good at doing both. I think you're both are right. Like, you, there are, over time, and I don't want to even use the word analytics. Like, you know, it's statistics. Statistically, when you look at players, like, over time, over larger samples, like, you know, have a pretty good idea of what players they reveal, who they are, what they may struggle with, you know, in certain situations versus lefties. Like, it reveals. But at the same time, like, yes, like that piece that you talked about, like understanding the player, having conversations with them, knowing who needs to be pushed and who needs to be patted on the back, like all these different kinds of things. Like, those are really, really important. But that being said, you still need to bat it. But if I have X player that's a little better at that, then maybe there's a pinch hit opportunity there or whatever. So you have to know that information, and it's very rarely wrong information.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, you got to communicate, and you have to know that other side of it. And that makes players feel more engaged too. So for me, it lies somewhere in the middle. There is like knowing the information, but having people around that aren't afraid to have those conversations and really get in deep with the player. That's really important too.
Chad, any good news on Whitlock's return or Crochet?
Whitlock's doing really good. He threw a pretty intense side yesterday, so everything on track feels good. He's been feeling better every single day, so we'll see what next steps are for him. He may go through a rehab or something just to make sure that he's up and ready. He hasn't been down long, but things are progressing really nicely there. And then, Garrett, just the imaging just showed a very small strain in the lat. He's been improving each day too, so we're just basically in wait mode of like when he's asymptomatic to the trainers, you know, testing and stuff, he can resume throwing. When that's going to be, I don't know, but it wasn't a serious thing that we found, but we do have to wait until he's asymptomatic.
What does this team need to win more games at home?
You're going to ask me that. I'm going to give you the pause, right? like Izzy or I did yesterday with the media too. I give you the pause because it's like we did nothing. We just need to play like we did in Cleveland, right? Like, we, you know, there was games here last week that we very easily could have won, and it's like you can pick apart and why didn't you? It's like, well, maybe one was we had a lead and the bullpen didn't hold one day, right? Or one was not a great start, but then we started banging the ball around and came up one run short. Mm-hmm. There's games within that we could have won, and we just need to put together a little stretch where, you know, you win four or something in a row and you kind of get this whole thing, and the player feels like, all right, we've conquered that, now let's go.
Yeah,
that's easier said than done. I get it. But I don't. We need a stretch. We need a good stretch. That's really it.
Can I throw out just you can shoot it down. The one suggestion is the team profiles as a young team. So young guys playing in Fenway.
Yep.
It's a different vibe. You have new players that are coming in for the first time. Is it all maybe just the profile of the team because it's young and you have so many new guys on this team and playing for the Red Sox in Fenway for the first time that might be somewhat of a factor why they're not playing as good at home?
It could be, but then you'd say, well, what about X game that we lost 8-7? We scored 7 runs. We banged it around. They looked fine. They were comfortable.
Yeah.
I think there's something too, like, you know, like I think Izzy had made a comment like, man, if, you know, jump out to like a 3 or 4-0 lead and play with the lead, get the fans involved early, like that stuff happens. Sometimes it's out of your control if a guy's out there dealing against you. But I mean, I won't ignore, dismiss, like, you know, guys that are here for the first time, maybe, you know, they look around. But I think there's been plenty of instances in my time here, at least at Fenway, where like we're playing a good baseball game, you know, everything looks fine. Nobody looks nervous to me. They're getting after it, like, and they're doing what they're supposed to. And we come up a run short, or one thing happens in a game that goes against us and ends up costing us the game. So we have to win at home. Like there's no, we're not hiding from that. Like if we continue this, like, you know, we're going to end up treading water like we have. The good thing is we're playing very good on the road. Most teams don't do that. So in a way that's helping us, you know, somewhat stay afloat. But we need a stretch at home. We absolutely do.
Chad Tracy, should the team have to earn it, Sweet Caroline's? Like if the team is getting their ass kicked, is it okay to play Sweet Caroline?
I don't even know if I should answer. I don't. It's a staple. It's a staple of Fenway, I guess. You know, it's like it's.
But it's like, I mean, you look at like Geno time at the Celtics. They only play that when it's like near the end of the game and it's a blowout and it's a big party. It's a celebration. There's nothing weirder than having like a game just get like blown or somebody gives up a bomb and you're sitting there and you're all pissed off and then you're like, no, right. No, I'm not feeling it right.
All the more reason we need to stretch at home.
That's right. That's
they
right.
Play Sweet Caroline. We're winning 5 nights in a row.
That will feel a lot better. Yeah. Well, Chad Tracy, thank you so much for coming in, and we always appreciate you coming in the studio. And listen, let's cross our fingers, man. Let's hope we get some home wins.
Thanks for having me.
Let's do it. Hey, always great to have you, Chad. All right. That was Chad Tracy, your manager of the Boston Red Sox, brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, the official supermarket of the Red Sox Radio Network, by Arbella, here for baseball fans, here for good, and by John Sewer and Drain Cleaning, the name to know when your drains don't flow. Rob Bradford will join us next.